Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Today's SMB Community Podcast is brought to you by Huntress Managed Security. Cybersecurity isn't just about software, it's about expertise. In today's ever-evolving threat landscape, you need more than lines of code. You need human intelligence to outwit cyber criminals. Huntress is tailor-made to provide human expertise. Our team of seasoned professionals has your back, ensuring your assets stay safe. With 24/7 vigilance, our human-led SOC never sleeps. We monitor, investigate, and respond around the clock. While you focus on growing your business, we provide first response to hackers. Start your trial now at huntress.com/Carl.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. We are live with James Kernan, Kernan Consulting. That's MOA. And I'm back with my good friend, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. You know, as we're recording this, Easter was yesterday. And, you know, in my family, we did something different this year. We went out to a restaurant and had a family brunch. It was a lot of fun and the food was good. But, you know, maybe I'm a homebody or something. I actually enjoy eating at home better than I do going out on a holiday.
We've done that before as well. I too was not home. I was traveling. I was down in Texas, but I was with my wife and we were able to share with some of my family members. So we had a mini family reunion this weekend and a lot of fun, but it's good to be home. Good to be home. And I like those holiday meals at my place. So, all right. Well, let's get the show on the road. We've got a lot of great questions and news events to share with everybody. So let's start off with the question that came in. A lot of great questions. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've got any questions at all, email them to james@kernanconsulting.com, or you could post it up on the smbcommunitypodcast.com website. We'd love to hear your questions. But Amy, here was the question that came in. I thought it was a good one. It said, is it worth the time to track MDF and rebates from your vendor partners if you're a small MSP? So I thought that was really interesting. I certainly have a strong opinion of that, but I'll let you go first. What are your thoughts on that question?
Well, you know, my first thought is this could be a really short answer. The answer is yes. Right, end of conversation. Yes, the answer is yes. But well, let me expand on that, because the key here in this question is small MSP. Yeah. And a lot of times we're, as small MSPs, we're overlooked, you know, and most MSPs are small. Mm-hmm. So, but the funding goes to the big ones, you know, because it makes them look better if they can push those big numbers around instead of a lot of little ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a time when my MSP made quite a lot of money from rebates and things like that, and most of it was coming from Microsoft. And you know, we would make $60,000 from that as a less than, at that time, you know, less than $1 million company. So it was an important source and appreciated one. And that has sort of dwindled away over time, but I wouldn't let that discourage you, because I still found a lot of ways that to get those MDF funds mm-hmm. to support us. And one of the key ways was in marketing for new clients.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I would contact my vendors, you know, those reps that you know personally. Yep. And, you know, take the time to build those relationships, because you need them. And the reason you need them is they can get you money that isn't advertised.
Yeah.
So if you ask them, do you guys have any MDF funds? Oh, yeah, they'll send you their sheet, right? And you'll find out you don't qualify. But if you say to your rep, hey, next month I'm going to be doing a, you know, a customer potential new customer event. And, you know, I was wondering if you guys had any money to help me cover lunch. And they'll be like, well, how much money do you need? And, you know, you'll be like, well, I need $150. And they'll be like, well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we don't usually do that, but let me ask the marketing people. Mm-hmm. And nearly 100% of the time, it would come back that, no, we can't do that. But then a little bit later, I would get an email from that marketing person saying, hey, you know, we didn't end up spending as much money on some other event that they were having. And I've got that $150 for you. Where do you want me to send it?
Yeah.
And it zero strings attached. Like, they had extra money in their pot that they were supposed to get rid of for a marketing event. And so, poof, here's your $150, right?
Yeah. And I love the way you worded that. It's, you know, there's money in the pot. And one thing I would say is all of the channel marketing entities, including distribution, where you buy your product, okay, mm-hmm. unless it's eBay or something like that, you know, these value-added distributors like a TD Synnex or an Ingram D&H, for example, they all have marketing funds available. And this is all different. MDF stands for marketing development funds. There's rebates. Normally those rebates in MDF are linked up to how much you sell on your sales out reporting of what gets reported out if you buy directly from them or through distribution. But mm-hmm. then there's also, there's other marketing dollars for sponsorships, and then there's spiffs, and those are all different. But back to Amy's point, I agree completely. Yes, you should track this and put forth an effort. And rarely do you ever get what you don't ask for. So the vendors that you buy the most product from or you sell the most with, you know, make sure you know who the channel managers are and then talk to them and let them know what events you've got going on. When we were small, Amy, we did the same kind of thing. We did lunch and learns like in our big, our partner co-location facility, a big data center in San Diego, big, beautiful presentation room. We'd do a data center tour and tell them, you know, those were our racks over in this section. And and then we would do a lunch and learn on some topic, but then I would have a different company, you know, pay for lunch. And then of course a data center partner hosted us in their facility. And it, you know, there's no way I could have done that by ourselves. So those are all just little examples of what to do. I think it's really smart to put forth an effort there for sure.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a guerrilla marketing kind of thing, right? We're small. We can actually live off the crumbs of their bigger events that are going on. Yeah. But as far as, you know, where to have those events, I like the examples that you just gave. I've had them at data center. I've had them at co-working spaces. Mm-hmm. And the co-working spaces were kind of the same thing. No, you have to be a member here in order to have an event at our conference room. And I said, well, you know, what if I brought you 20 potential customers and yeah. gave you, you know, some time to, you know, to do your pitch? And then they'd be like, let me talk to the manager. And it would come back again. Mm-hmm. And they would come back as, you know, yeah, we can, you know, we can give you 4 hours, you know, time on this date or whatever. Same thing. I also I held them at Microsoft office. Detroit has a Microsoft office. So, you know, and they have space. So look around, you know, look around for those creative spaces, and yeah. you know, you can often find somewhere that is really nice, looks like you spent a ton of money, but you actually didn't spend any.
right. Trade shows are another good thing. If you're maybe speaking at a trade show or even just exhibiting at a local trade show, it could be a chamber of commerce event or more specifically an industry event. Your vendors are great. You know, they'd even help man the booth. You know, they could join you on stage if you're presenting or co-presenting. The one thing I would say as well, in lieu of them giving, in return of them giving you funds, I think it's I think it's something that we should provide the list of attendees or the list of leads and work with them closely. You know, normally you're the one doing the marketing and the following up, but you want to keep you need to kind of give them back some kind of report of like, here's all the attendees or the leads that we got. I'll be working with them, trying to close them and meet with them. You know, just give them visibility to almost like an ROI type of thing. I think that's important follow up for anybody that gives you money like we're talking about. And then
I even had the local Comcast business rep.
Okay.
And he sponsored our event one time and had his, you know, he even had a little table set up in the back and we gave him a couple minutes to talk. So he stayed there the whole time because he wanted to mingle with the business owners that were coming.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I've done a lot of consulting back in the channel with some of these vendor partners. And I remember one of them, the sales rep got in trouble because he was required each quarter to spend X amount of money on marketing and sponsorships. And he didn't spend enough that quarter. And he was actually getting in trouble. He got chastised in front of the team. So make sure you guys are communicating back with your vendor partners and your distributors to your sales rep or the channel sales rep and let them know what marketing you want to do and then work together on it. Because I think you're leaving money on the table if you don't do that. That's something we talk a lot about in our peer groups and our coaching practice for sure.
Yeah, never leave money on the table. And, you know, if the answer is repeatedly no, 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 ask them for swag, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, how can you guys help me, right? You know, do you have any swag out there that I can, you know, we can get hold of? It's always nice to give your attendees something.
This was years back when I was running my MSP, Amy, but we weren't big enough to really get the rebates from Microsoft, but I knew all the right contacts. And we did marketing events all the time. And so I did ask for swag in one of their community programs. I don't know if you remember this. If you did a physical event and you talked about the Microsoft solutions there, you could register your event and they would actually give you free licensing or I remember it was like free Microsoft Office packs.
Yep.
And you could raffle those off at the event. So, you know, good stuff to do. Just again, ask. You've got to ask, and those are great things to have there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, good stuff. I think we answered that question. And then in the news, there's some interesting things. Remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about all the outages. You know, AT&T had that big outage that affected one week. I think it was probably about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about that. It's interesting now, the headlines for multiple news sources was they've announced that they were hacked. So there was a big data leak.
I mean, what they announced is that, yeah, there's a big data leak, but they also said they don't find a hack in their system. So they don't know if it's through a third party or what, but either way, it's bad because it is AT&T customer usernames and passwords out there on the dark web. So make sure you go out and change your password at AT&T, which I'm going to do now because I'm an AT&T wireless customer. So just to be safe, I'm not going to wait for their announcement. I'm just going to go out and change it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's the first thing to do for sure. So that was interesting. And then, of course, today is April Fool's Day, right?
It is.
Another thing that caught my attention was Gmail announced 20 years ago, you know, from Google, they announced their email platform, Gmail. So, and then a lot of people thought it was a joke, an April Fool's joke, you know. So now look where we're at. Fast forward 20 years from now, you know, I think everybody's got multiple Gmail accounts.
Right. It made sense, didn't it? Like, why would Google wanted to get into email? Everybody else was already into email and Google's a search engine. I can see it. Well, James, I don't know if you noticed, but Microsoft has an April Fool's Day joke out there too. It's I'm sure they don't see it that way, but those of us in the small business space are definitely going to see it this way. Everyone's been looking forward to Copilot for Security. And there has been just amazing demos that Microsoft has put out there of how this particular Copilot's very interactive, can go out and do security tasks for you, can go out and, you know, hunt around in your, you know, do the security hunting, do the configuration changes, understand big long scripts and your ability to save those and rerun those from time to time across your network, and just some really super cool stuff. And then a little while ago, they announced it's going to be $4 an hour. And everybody was kind of like, oh, you know, that's kind of going to add up. But, you know, how many hours are we actually going to need it? You know, once we learn it and we get those scripts together and stuff. And well, the April Fool's Day today is when Microsoft announced the general availability. You can all go and sign up for it. But it's $4 an hour for per incident. So it's like Azure pricing, sort of like a per incidence of a server.
Oh, okay.
And so it's $4 an hour, which is translates to something like $35,000 a year. And you have to have one in order to do it. And, you know, I and a few other people immediately commented on this, you know, hey, this is awfully expensive. Can we turn it off? Because in Azure servers, you can turn them off and you stop being right. charged for them. And they said, yeah, you can cancel your incident and then restart it again when you need it. But the problem with that is you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose all that script history, all of, you know, everything's going to go with it when you cancel it. So it'll be like perpetually starting over from ground zero and building your way back up again. So very, very disappointing to see small business sort of locked out from it, unless you want to play that turn off, unsubscribe, resubscribe game, and, you know, not be able to take advantage of the history and the building of library of prompts and all those things that were bringing that real deep value to the product.
Right.
Well, that was kind of a sad April Fool's joke for me today.
That was a very sad April Fool. And if that's a sad April Fool's joke, I've got a bad April Fool's joke that I thought with all this AI stuff going on that Microsoft's going to rebrand and call themselves Skynet now. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, ba-dum-bum.
All right. So cool stuff. So what else are you up to here in the next month or two? Are you on the road? Anything going on?
I am not on the road, but today, April 1st, because way back when I started my MSP on April 1st, and I thought to myself, I should start all business ventures on April 1st, because they are always somewhat foolhardy. And so today, April 1st, I am sending out my first edition of a new newsletter. And it's four things to know and four things to do in Microsoft 365 this week. And so it's sort of, it's curating Microsoft's blogs down to eight important things.
Very cool.
Microsoft puts out well over 200 blogs a week. And so being able to curate those down, I think, is something that I thought it would be something that might be valuable. And I said to myself, well, you know, I'll put the notice out there that I'm doing this. And, you know, if I can get 50 people to, you know, to sign up for this thing and we'll get it started, that'll be great. Well, I got 388 are going out today. So that was a good surprise for me that a lot of people jumped in and said, yes, sign me up for this newsletter. And issue one goes out today. So apparently it's the world does need another newsletter. I wasn't sure it did, but This sort of says to me that maybe this at least sounds like content that they think is going to be valuable for them.
And how often are you sending that newsletter out? Is that a quarterly one, Amy, or is that going to be monthly?
No, this is going to be weekly.
I'd love to be
I will
a part
do that. And I'll also have a link for it over at thirdtier.net in our blog. So look in the show notes here or go over to the website and take a look in the blog for that sign up link as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, as we record this, I just got back from a mastermind event down in Austin, Texas. We were at the Ninja One offices and just had an amazing experience down there in the city of Austin. We were in the Ninja One headquarter office in the downtown Austin last Thursday, Friday, and that was an amazing experience. So I'm exhausted from that trip. We got home late last night, and then I'm already getting ready for the next one. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, we just verbally inked a deal with keynote speaker extraordinaire Amy Babinchak. She'll be there in the Florida event late June. So
yep.
You guys stay tuned for that. I think Amy will be on the agenda. And we're going to be at the TD Cinex facility, which is always impressive to see all the resources available at our major distributors. So looking forward to that. And then I've got a sales class that I partnered up with Carl Polacek in his community. I've got a 5-part professional sales training class starting April 23rd. I'll drop the link in the show notes for that. So check that out. And what's really cool, Amy, I think this is the first time anybody knows this, but this is the same 5-part professional sales training that's been licensed out in multiple communities. So thousands of MSPs around the world have been part of some of those previous trainings. But this one is the latest and greatest. The one that we are starting on the 23rd has some really key updates to it that will fast track the sales process for you and use some of your old techniques that, you know, you close the deal in one visit. So we've got some templates that we've added to the program there. So I'll drop the link in the show notes for that as well. But if you want to sharpen up your sales skills, that's a great class to go through.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming down to your event in June. So everybody gets signed up for that. And I've been to Clearwater many times, but I have never been to TD Cinex offices. So I look forward to seeing them. You see their big sign. I've driven by it. I've seen the sign there for it. And I've always thought to myself, I've been a TD Cinex customer for 20 years. I should just pop in there and say hi.
Today's SMB Community Podcast is brought to you by Huntress Managed Security. Cybersecurity isn't just about software. It's about expertise. In today's ever-evolving threat landscape, you need more than lines of code. You need human intelligence to outwit cyber criminals. Huntress is tailor-made to provide human expertise. Our team of seasoned professionals has your back, ensuring your assets stay safe. With 24/7 vigilance, our human-led SOC never sleeps. We monitor, investigate, and respond around the clock. While you focus on growing your business, we provide first response to hackers. Start your trial now at huntress.com/Carl.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. It's James Kernan with Kernan Consulting Live. And I have got an interesting guest today. I've got a marketing extraordinaire guru who all of you are going to love to hear from today. But I'm here with Tim Fitzpatrick of Rialto Marketing. Hey, Tim, welcome.
James, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
So tell everybody a little bit more about Rialto Marketing and what you guys do.
For lack of a better term, I'm a marketing consultant, an advisor, or an outsourced or part-time marketing executive. What we do with clients is we help them build and manage their marketing engine so they can grow faster. And the way we do that is by removing revenue roadblocks in three areas of marketing. Okay. There's strategy, which I think of like fuel. There's planning, where we're outlining the marketing vehicles that you're going to use. And then leadership, where you got to have a driver. And that's either we jump into the driver's seat or we guide and advise the owner and their team so that they feel comfortable being that driver. If your marketing is going to work, you have to have all three of those things in alignment, and you got to remove the roadblocks that are in your way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I live. I do not get tactical with marketing. I'm not the person creating social posts or, you know, I said this to you before we jumped on. I don't have a dog in the fight when it comes to marketing tactics. I just want you to employ what makes the most sense for you based on where you are and where you want to get to.
Got it. Okay. And again, that's kind of the brains behind marketing. It's all about the strategy. The strategy makes all the difference in the world. So let's talk about, you know, what would be a strategy for MSPs today? You know, there's listeners all around the world listening in on this, but let's maybe just kind of hone in just in general. What would be some of the strategy that you would?
James, when I think about strategy, I think about a few main things. The first is your target market and who your ideal clients are within that market. To yeah. me, everything from a marketing standpoint is built from that foundation.
Around and that, exactly.
If yeah. you skip that, again, thinking of strategy like fuel, you got vehicles, but you have no fuel, and that's not going to work well. MSPs do this. A lot of businesses in every industry that I've ever been involved in do the exact same thing. They jump right to the tactics. You know, I need to have a website. I got to have a podcast, or I need to do email marketing. But they don't have that foundation and or that fuel behind it. You have to understand the market you serve and who your ideal clients are within that market first and foremost. Otherwise, you're like throwing spaghetti up against a wall, hoping something's going to stick.
Before we depart, a couple things. One, let everybody know, how can they get in touch with you? What's the easiest way to connect with Tim Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, two ways. Our website, which is rialtomarketing.com. That's rialtomarketing.com. Okay. All the links to our social are there. Search for my name on LinkedIn. I'll come up there. The other tool I'll make available to the audience is at revenueroadblockscorecard.com. So we started talking about some of these roadblocks today. When we work with clients, we help them remove roadblocks in 9 areas of marketing that all fall under those 3 main topics: strategy, planning, and leadership. At Revenue Roadblock Scorecard, they can identify which of the 9 roadblocks are slowing down their growth. Takes less than 5 minutes, customized report. There's a ton of value there. So those two places, rialtomarketing.com and revenueroadblockscorecard.com.
Reach out to Tim. Make sure you follow him on social media. The more marketing you do, the more successful you will be. So make sure you pay attention to what Tim is doing out there on social media and reach out. But hey, Tim, thanks for being on the program today. It's been great to have you share some words of wisdom and great to connect with you.
Awesome. Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
All right, gang. All right. You take care. Thanks, Amy, for being on with me today. And everybody have a great week, and we'll catch up with you next week.